Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Rebbe Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, and we are now 1-2 weeks removed from the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Getting ready for spring training.
Yes, right around the corner.
Jesus.
I know, that means that you guys
are there.
Headed
they're
back down to, the, to Florida for a while then.
Pitchers and I love hearing the sound of the ball hitting the catcher's mitt.
Me too.
Right? Just
right?
The pop.
Yeah.
The pop of that. See, babe, you've never been there.
She's been in the waves in the ocean. That's what I was going to say.
Never been to the field, right? When I get there 8 a.m. sometimes, and now the grass is freshly cut, right?
Nothing like the smell.
The smell of the grass.
The smell, yes.
Guys taking BP. You hear the crack of the bat.
Yep.
You hear the pop of the ball and the glove and in the mitt. And like, I just want to play.
100%.
Like, I still have that mentality. Like, there's nothing. My favorite thing to do in sports is just to take batting practice.
Wow.
Just to sit in the cage and just to just hit line drives. And I'm trying to hit balls over fences, but to hit line drives in the gap. That's all I want to do. And man, I love spring training. But yeah, go ahead.
I want to sip coconut water on a beach. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's the sound I want to hear. That's the experience I want to have.
We go to spring training very differently. Is that
very
what you're saying?
Right? Okay, yeah. Come with me to the game, like you know.
All right, so this will be our seventh spring training, spending the whole month there with our daughters.
We took them six months old.
We went before we got married.
They're six and a half. No, but with the girls, seven.
Oh, with the girls, seven. That's
true. When we were married, you went pregnant.
Yes, I did. That was the worst.
That wasn't the whole month. How about this? When we were married, our first year of marriage, she flew to Florida to spring training with me, pregnant. We stayed in Bel Air, right? Bel Air Beach and then we had to go to Hollywood on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
Fly out because you had to shoot a couple appearances there for the reality TV stuff, pregnant, hiding her pregnancy.
No, it was a magazine shoot.
Wow.
Magazine shoot.
No, and the, so you did.
She had to hide
the pregnancy.
We
wow.
flew out. We,
yes.
They put us up in Zsa Zsa Gabor's house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of cool.
That's very cool, right?
Yeah.
It was strange because she's doing a magazine shoot. She's doing some video shoots, whatever. Yeah. I'm wandering around the house.
Oh,
man.
100%. I'm totally wandering.
I'm wandering around this mansion.
Yes.
I go into some rooms and like, I don't know. All I know is I walked out of one room. Somebody saw me and they're like, don't go in there.
Yeah,
don't go in there.
So
you're not supposed to see who's in there. I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know.
You were not supposed to see Zsa Zsa Gabor because it wasn't her.
Was she still alive?
She was
at that
there.
Time?
Yes. Yes. She was.
When did she pass away?
I don't know.
This would have been 2013. I don't know. I gotta look this up. She passed away a few years after.
Yeah.
And apparently what it was the husband at the time was renting out the place to Hollywood production.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they would come in there, shoot whatever it is. And it was pretty weird. But that was your first experience with Clearwater or second experience
was,
with Clearwater.
Yeah.
And now it's a whole lot different, right? We go down now, forget Clearwater. We're in St. Pete Beach.
Yeah,
we got the girls.
Right.
We're all about, we're all about like the morning, coffee.
Do the girls
on the beach.
Ever go to a game with you or it's just girl time. This is girl power on the beach.
Yeah.
Come on, Remy.
My girls have been to Citizens Bank Park for a Phillies game when they were a year old. We took them there for they were a year.
And you have not taken them since?
They were 10 months old.
You have not taken them since?
No.
You did not take them to see the Fanatic?
They want to go. Yeah, they
we
do want to go.
We do want to go see the Fanatic.
I mean, he's the best mascot in sports.
I wanted to take him when they called him the Fiatic.
Yeah.
Now they actually know how to say Fanatic. I should have taken him when they called him the Fiatic.
Yeah.
No, it was, remembering the Phillies had sent me these cute little, a couple of the
dresses.
Yeah, it was the PR department. They put together these little dresses with their names on them.
Right. Oh, that's really cool. That's very cool.
You still have those, right?
They do have them.
Oh, they were
that's
so cool.
Cool.
See, I care.
Yeah, you care.
Shout out to Bonnie, Indiana, who did that. They were
That's really, really cool.
They were awesome.
We dressed them in the dresses and took them there so they can, you know.
We met people. We took pictures. We were gone before the first inning started. So we they still
So you didn't actually go to the game. You kind of just went. Okay.
Did you know me?
I know. I'm with you. I understand.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Not this girl.
And I don't think this spring training, now that your their cousins are there, Remy's family's there, she's not going to go waste time. You're going to go spend time with your mom and your sister and everybody.
I'm with you. I don't know. I think it's probably one thing I have not done that I want to do kind of on my bucket list is spring training. I just think it's cool. I think,
it is,
you know,
amazing.
Kind of grabbing
right
a hot dog.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a, you know, seeing some of the younger players play and seeing some of the vets. I think
it's a laid back atmosphere.
I love it. I always like going to a game. Yeah.
I'll give you all the good spots where it won't be crowded with, cause Philly, right? They go down there and they all go to the same places that are way overrated.
Yeah.
We find the gems. That's why I'm so fired up about next year's Super Bowl, because next year's Super Bowl is in Tampa.
Who's going to be there?
Right? I was telling Team AP, that's my second home.
Oh, yeah.
I know all the restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
I know every, like, this past one in Miami, first we had an Uber everywhere. I had this experience with an Uber, and before we get into the show, I got to share this experience.
Tell me.
I've
got a good story with an Uber, so you tell me your bad one.
The only time I Uber is in Florida, at the Super Bowl. So it was four of us trying to get into an Uber to go to a restaurant for dinner. I put the Uber X, whatever it's called, to get the six people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Woman shows up and we try, it's a four seater. It's not really a six seater. So that was, I don't know how that happened. Then she had a dog in the front seat.
No, she did not.
Front seat.
No, no.
So I went to get into the back seat and
Then
Dennis went to get in the front seat and he goes, I can't get in. There's a dog in there. I was like, peace. I'm out. I'm allergic.
100%.
Can't go in there.
I'm not sure I'd do it even if I wasn't.
She said to everyone, it smells.
The car
stunk like a dog. I mean, dogs are beautiful creatures. Don't get me wrong. Everyone out there, don't send me hate mail. I love everything God created. I love them. I just don't want to get into a car with a driver.
A stranger's car.
A stranger's car.
And
Uber,
who
wanted then to put the dog in her lap.
Oh no!
To drive.
No.
What?
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes. And then came to find out, the two guys who did go, because me and the other guy went somewhere else.
Smart.
They said, "You did not want to be in there." She was complaining rather loudly about certain people of color.
Oh,
and I was like,
no,
wow.
No.
One of them was in the vehicle with
her. No.
I was like, goodness.
No.
Oh my goodness.
No. But, well, let me redeem the Uber story for you, okay? Redeem my Uber story.
That was the only bad one.
Everyone else in Miami, y'all were great.
I loved you, Luis and Alfonso and Maria and everyone. They were great. They were awesome. Had a deep conversation about Jesus with one
love
of them.
That.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, other than I've had some shady Amazon Prime drivers lately. I don't know who they're hiring, but, we just, at our Christmas tree. At our Christmas store here, where we do at our Cherry Hill campus, give away hundreds of toys to kids.
Amazing thing!
Yeah, it's so much fun.
I love it.
Someone had shown up who then came to come to Jesus at that event. And she explained how she got here. She was an Uber driver, and she was giving my wife a ride. And my wife had said, "Look, you just got it. Just come. Just check out church." So she came on the night that absolutely she didn't even know it was a Christmas tree, the Christmas store, and came and had an encounter with Jesus, and just wanted everybody to know. So all those things, all those times that you've shared or invited with your Uber driver, Jesus, and you're thinking, it doesn't matter. They probably heard 1,000 times. You never know, when it will be that moment when they just roll up at something and give their life to Jesus.
That is awesome. Pastor Danielle, shout out to her for doing that.
My girl.
That is awesome. Well, our guest this week is former Eagle, San Francisco 49ers, now wide receiver Jordan Matthews.
J-Matt.
You know J-Matt
very well.
Shout out
to my boy.
What did J-Matt once called you? Did he compare you to, he said that he talked about your swag.
Kanye?
He calls me
Pastor Kanye a lot. Yeah.
Well, I caught up with J-Matt at Super Bowl opening night at Marlins Park, and we chatted about, because he's had some ups, he's had some downs in his career. First 3 years with the Eagles, he was the go-to receiver. Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
He was in Chip Kelly's offense. He was the number one receiver. Carson Wentz's rookie year, he was Carson's go-to guy, and then he gets traded.
Yep.
The year in the training camp before they go on to win the Super Bowl.
And like I the just, end of the training. It was end of the training camp, right?
It was
right
August.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
I remember the guys all like
shocked.
Chris Maragos, Jordan Hicks, Zach Ertz, Carson. They all like gathered for dinner.
Yeah.
Took him to the airport. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, took him to the airport.
Like, it was tough to see him go, and
hard.
Then he came back. And then left again. And then he came back again. And then he got cut. But then he ends up going back to San Fran. He begins 2019 with San Francisco. Comes to the Eagles. Goes back to San Francisco. Ends up in the Super Bowl. He was inactive. He didn't play. Maybe that was the missing link for the 49ers.
Good
you
beat.
Know, when Jimmy Garoppolo overthrows badly Emmanuel Sanders wide open, I mean, I don't know. Maybe J-Mac could have been out there. I'm just saying.
I'll say he could have. Yes, I'm with you.
I'm just saying.
That's right.
I'm just saying. But I love in this interview what Jordan talks about, because the depth of his faith. We just talked about this a few minutes ago before the show. I've seen this young man rise up, and you know him. I've seen him develop because he's a young man in this sport. Now a father.
Yeah.
Now a husband, and his struggles have all on the field. His career has had a lot of ups and downs, and he's sort of like in a downward spiral because yeah. he's not the guy anymore. He's not getting that big time lucrative four-year, five-year contract,
right? For an athlete who's always been at the top.
I mean,
of the
you're looking to get paid one time. You know, he played out his rookie deal and he hasn't reached that point. But I mean, I love what he said because he is so many of us. He is so many of us. We struggle when things aren't going our way. We struggle when things are going our way. It's a natural thing. But Jordan has found that the best perspective, I think, and he talks about Paul's prayer for the Ephesians in 3:14-21. I want to read this because I had to read it a few times. And you know what I do. I read it. I look over it. I consult my study guide Bible, and then I consult somewhere else. And it says, "For this reason I kneel." This is Paul. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Man, Paul here is praying for, he's not praying for our wealth, our success, our five-year contract.
Yeah.
He's praying for their inner being.
Strengthen
our
man.
Inner being, our inner wellness. And he's praying for fullness.
Yes.
Fullness. I love, there's a song by Elevation Worship called Fullness. I know you turned me onto it. I love it. It's probably about 5 or 6 years old. But what does it mean to be full? Right. Oh. It's not about eating too much. I know.
I love that too.
I love that too, by the way.
I'm going to say this because I'm going to keep complaining about the Super Bowl. Right now, so. The NFL had us at the Miami Beach Convention Center, and I don't know if it was the NFL's fault or the Miami host committee's fault, but I was deprived of food and bottled water.
What?
I was hungry. I was dehydrated.
You're at South Beach. They have some of the best food on the planet.
I'm like, nothing. Like,
dude.
I
am
no Cuban coffee.
No
paella.
They had some kind of
what?
Just a regular coffee that came out or whatever.
What?
I'm not the guy who wants a free meal for the media. All I wanted was a place within there
to get
I can walk to quickly to buy my own food.
Like in Atlanta last
year, we were at a convention center right across from what was a gigantic food court. I had my two coffee spots. Mm-hmm. I had my chicken. Oh, I just want some chicken and vegetables, man.
I didn't
get full there. But I know what it's like to eat too much and get full. When I came home, I got full.
Yeah.
But our real, like, fullness ain't about food.
Yeah.
Fullness is about, it's through the Holy Spirit, through faith, through prayer, as we live our daily lives for the Lord with the Holy Spirit together, we gain that fullness.
Yeah. I mean, buddy, I think you're so right. I think, unfortunately, as human beings, we live so empty most of the time, and we try to fill that emptiness with all sorts of other things to make us feel full, and it always falls short. Because there's only one thing that can fill that void. It's the thing that created, right? It's, you know, we were created out of his image, in his likeness. And, you know, we messed that up at the fall, right? But so there is, I know we talk about it all the time in simplicity, but there's a Jesus shaped hole. There's a God shaped hole, right? In there that creates this bottomless pit inside of us, and we'll never be full. And that's why when Paul preaches there, what he's praying for is that we stop trying to fulfill our life by all the external means to make us feel full. But there's an inner being that needs to be built up. And you know, what I love about J-Matt in particular, you know, Jordan has such an amazing story, you know, being the top receiver in the SEC history, like catching the most, being drafted high, you know, playing the way that he has, and then going through this winter season in life.
Yeah.
And at times, Rob, you know, we don't like our winter seasons, right? Yeah. Where, you know, we kind of want to get them over quickly. And yet, you know, in the winter, you know, the Bible says that God creates all seasons, both summer and winter. He creates those boundaries in our life for our health. In winter, a tree, its roots go deeper because the water is deeper. The nutrients are deeper. So it forces the roots to go deeper into the ground. Yeah. You don't see the fruit growing on the outside in winter. You don't see the leaves, right? They've all fallen off. So you think, oh, there's nothing happening. It's dead, right? Yeah. There's nothing really going on. But it's preparing itself for the rains, the winds, and the storms that come in spring, right? And if it wasn't getting deeper in the wintertime, it wouldn't have been able to be fruitful in the springtime. It would have been taken out by the storms. And that's what you're hearing in Jordan. What you're hearing in Jordan is that there's been this depth that he's allowed Jesus to take him into during the winter moments, that he wasn't just angry at God or despising God or complaining about God or trying to fulfill that need by outside things. He allowed his roots to grow deep in Jesus in that winter moment so that fruit follows.
First of all, Ephesians, I mean, if you're not going to read anything, read Ephesians, okay? Because Ephesians is like, you're going to fall madly in love. It's just beautiful. So beautiful. Ephesians is kind of like, I feel like it's like a love story in a way. And it's so awesome what he's saying there, because you know what's funny? Because we think, okay, I got this down, you know, I understand everything, and I got the Holy Spirit down in my spirit. I got this thing down, right? But he's saying here, no matter how far you go, no matter how far you learn, no matter how far you experience, you are not going to even touch the amount of love he has for you.
Absolutely.
And it's so deep and so massive and so wide that no matter what you do, how far you fall, how far you learn, how far you do anything, you're not going to even come close to the amount of love he has for you. I mean, what does that say? It's so incredible. And to me, it's like, man, so when I fall, and because I fall a lot, and when I do things that I don't like, or things, or life just throws something at me that I don't love.
Yes.
That's nothing. It's nothing, because his love covers me. His love for me is so massive that he's going to make this happen. Have you ever watched a movie before and you've seen the ending?
Yes.
And the ending is so incredible, but you watch it again and the person next to you haven't watched that movie and you're like, no, don't cry, dude. It's fine.
Hold on. It's coming. Hold on.
I do that with my girls because they're like, oh my gosh, mommy, she's about to die. I'm like, no, girl, I watched this before. She's fine. This is like the main character. Guess what? You and I are the main character in this.
Yes.
We're fine because I read the end of the Bible.
Yes.
We win. He wins for you. Yep. So no matter what is happening in your life, no matter what, you know, he's going through or you're going through or I'm going through, we win in the end because he won this war for us. He won this whole thing for us. And his love for us is so incredible and so massive that nothing comes our way is remotely close to what he has for you. It's just so incredible. So, yeah, hold tight. It's fine.
Circumstances, what you're saying, I mean, circumstances don't determine God's love for us, and and it doesn't deter God's love from us,
absolutely
right?
Not.
So that's like, so when we look at all these things and good things happen, oh, look how much God loves me.
Right.
And then bad things happen, and we're like, God, why don't you love me? And he's like, I think I love you the whole time.
So the movie keeps going and the scenes keep going, and it tricks you because you're thinking, oh, this is it. This one's going to take him out.
Yeah.
This one's going to take the main character out, but it doesn't because at the end, God flips the switch and flips the scene and goes, oh, here we go.
Yes.
This is your chance to like do this all over again, because you win in the end. No matter what, no matter what road you take, you win in the end with me.
Absolutely.
And it's the most beautiful thing ever.
I love that. That is so cool. And it is so true. And it's beautiful. I want to share a story. So you saw me coming home Monday and I had a shirt on that said blessed.
We took a slow motion video.
Yeah, we did a slow motion video. I learned how to do slow mo videos.
Slow mo videos. Oh no, we're in trouble now.
They became my thing. But so listen, when I go to Miami, I got a lot of stuff I'm bringing. Not only do I have equipment, but I pack more than any man has any right to. 5 shoes, 3 suits, 7 pants, 14 shirts.
I have no problem with any of that, by the way.
Okay, I appreciate 100%,
bro.
As long as you don't smell and you just look good.
It's just, God, you never know.
You never know.
There they were mornings. I put a shirt on. I was like, nah, let me go with this one. Whatever.
Options are good.
So as I'm getting on the plane, and you know what? I got a shout out to American Airlines. People complain about them all the time. I had great experience going to and coming back, and I had a connect on the way back too because I wanted to get home to my girl
first. Early, right?
And my wife. So I took a connection to Orlando and then connected from Orlando home, but everything was smooth, awesome, easy. Except the one time I'm getting on there and my stuff is falling. I got a lot of things and whatever, and I got the blessed shirt on, and this dude sitting in what do I call it now? First class, business class? I don't know what it is, but he's all comfy, right?
Yeah.
He's all comfy, and he sees me struggle, and he looks up at me, goes, "Still feeling blessed?"
Oh.
I'm like, so, I'm thinking, I'm thinking,
that's awesome.
Like, I'm thinking, you know, do I punch the dude in the face? Nah, that's not Jesus like.
Oh, wow.
So, I looked at him, I mean, instantly, like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this moment, though.
Yep,
because
totally.
He had me covered, as you're saying. Yeah. And all I did was look at him, and I went, always.
Ah, that a boy.
And I just kept, always.
Yeah.
Struggled down to aisle 26, 27, whatever.
Oh, no.
I just looked down, and I went, always.
Love it.
And I continue with all my bags down to 27, seat in, get in there. Now I got the window. I hate the window. I want to sit in the aisle. The mom and the daughter come, and I'm like, you want to switch? Because I get up to go to the bathroom. She's like, do you get up a lot? I said, I guarantee you I'll be up 3 times. She's like, let's switch. So as I go to the bathroom, someone had seen that encounter and said to me, how are you able to stay so calm and not be rude? I would have punched him in the face. And I was like, for me, being blessed isn't one about sitting in business class. I'm merely sitting in coach. That's what, I'm there. And I was like, for me, being blessed, it's not about sitting in business class. It's not about my circumstance in the moment.
Yeah.
My blessings don't come in this minute. I feel blessed. Tomorrow, I don't. My feeling blessed comes from knowing the Lord.
Absolutely.
And having that inner peace that I know Jesus and everything is going to be just fine because I have peace in my heart from knowing Jesus, and I have fullness from knowing the Spirit is going to be with me throughout everything.
Knowing and being known, right?
So
right?
I know. So now as I say that to this passenger, she's like, you ought to go up there and tell that guy. I was like, I'm not going to tell him because I don't know if they're going to kick me out. But as I saw him in to picking up our baggage back, he's from Philly because he landed in Philly.
That's
so,
about right.
So my man.
That's about right.
Right?
That sounds right.
I just walked up to him and handed him my business card.
Love it.
I said, I'm going to talk about this the next episode.
You did not.
I did.
Oh, but I was listening.
So listen.
I hope you're listening.
My man, I think his name was Jack. His name was Jack. So Jack, listen.
Shout out to
him. I appreciate the conversation because it allowed me to talk about this
yeah,
on
it.
The air and maybe people who may have a moment like that. Like, we think about our blessings, like Jordan Matthews, right? Jordan Matthews, at the beginning of his career, is the guy, the go-to guy, yeah, on the rise, second round pick. He's going to get a big time contract when his thing is up. Oh, he's got every reason to feel blessed, right? But his career goes up, goes down. He marries a wonderful woman. Yeah. He has a son.
Professional soccer player,
right?
As well.
A professional,
yeah,
soccer, yeah, player. He has a son. So what we see, so when people go, oh, his career's over, he's no good, whatever it is. No, man, he's still blessed.
100%.
And his blessing isn't coming from football, and it's not coming from his situation right now or tomorrow or yesterday. He's blessed because he knows the Lord and he has proper perspective. So yeah, I was struggling with some bags getting, yeah, on the plane. I fumbled them. They were this. Yep. They were giving me a hard time, and I may have gone, oh, once or twice. But I feel blessed always. And yes, I'm blessed with a beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife and two, yep, yes, incredible daughters, yep, that every night, you know, it's awesome. Every night when I tell them, you are my greatest blessing. And they say, Daddy, say that again. They love hearing that. And it is so cool. But my blessings come from that, not our moment,
yeah,
not our circumstance. So Jack, if you're listening, the moment does not define you.
Absolutely right.
It's who you are and knowing the Lord. That's where my fullness, my completeness comes from.
Actually, that is, sorry.
Yeah, no, go.
Totally, that is why you're blessed. Because when you're squeezed, what came out, yep, was something that was so beautiful. And that is why you're blessed. Because you got saturated in Jesus. Seriously, your heart
is
saturated,
yep,
with his love. So when you're squeezed, yep, what comes out is love, and that is a blessing. Yep. That is actually the greatest blessing.
I agree, not every time.
No.
Not every time, because there are moments at home.
Okay. Yeah, we fail, no doubt.
No, I want to make sure.
No doubt.
No one thinks I am not above, not holier, not perfect, nothing.
But in that, though, Robbie, you know, in those unguarded moments, and that's what we talk about all the time, the unguarded moments, right? Everybody, when you know you're going to get an award, right? If I know I'm going to get an award, I got my Praise Jesus speech in, right? Because I know I'm getting an award. It's when it's in those unguarded moments. What comes out of you, right? When you're squeezed, and that's what Remy says. We say all the time, when you're squeezed, what's inside of you comes out of you. Yep. And that's why we can't just try to, we have to put stuff in ahead of time. And how we respond in every moment matters. And it tells a story. I was on a plane. I was flying. I was in South Africa. And I was going from Cape Town to Bloemfontein. And, it was with a bunch of pastors. We were doing a conference, and, I had sat, it was one of those really small planes. So there was two and two seats. And I happened to sit next to a young lady. Her name was Danielle, my wife's name. And she was a professional, turned out to be a tennis player. And I know who she was from South Africa. And, we were talking, and, we talked the entire trip, right? So I got off, and she was very attractive. We got off, and we got back. I went later on into the green room to this conference to preach, and the pastors who were with me totally started making fun of me. Oh, I bet you were really, what were you guys talking about? Oh, look at, you had a horrible trip, and there was one young guy there. You should let me switch seats, blah, 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 blah. And like, they're totally ragging on me. And in a minute, I didn't even know these other pastors who were African, who had been on the plane. They all stood up and said, no, we were sitting around him. I'd never met them. Didn't know who they were. No, we were sitting around him. And the entire time, he just talked to her about Jesus.
Wow.
He said, every time he talked to her about Jesus. They said, we were so encouraged because most of the time people get so enamored with people. They don't do it. So it was one of those things. It's not about bringing glory to this moment for me. It's about, like you, it's about being able to say, you don't know who's around you all the time. That person watched you respond to Jack and said, oh man, they walked away with a different encounter.
Yeah.
Whether Jack did or not, that person who watched you did. And, you know, whether there are people who would have thought, I bet they're talking about everything but Jesus on that plane.
Right.
And yet the people who really, that mattered at the end of the day, yes, the men of God who were around me, who I didn't even know, they watched me. They were we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Yes. Therefore, let us run this race with endurance, casting off every sin that will entangle us. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And that's a...
So true.
Oh, I love that. I love that. We got a couple more things I want to get into. One of them that you brought up that Jordan Matthews did, but we'll do that. We're going to hear from San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Jordan Matthews. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Remy Motti, and Pastor Kyle Horner. Jordan Matthews just finished his sixth season in the NFL. His career started out very nicely. Second round pick by Chip Kelly in 2014 with the Philadelphia Eagles. He averaged 79 catches, 900 yards receiving his first three seasons. But as we mentioned earlier, he was traded to Buffalo right before the 2017 season started, and he had to watch the Eagles win the Super Bowl without him. He played one season in Buffalo. It was an injury-plagued year. He ended up back with the Eagles in 2018 and caught a touchdown pass in a playoff game against New Orleans that season. He returned to the Eagles for a third stint after the Niners cut him early in the 2019 season, but then returned to San Fran in December, ended up in the Super Bowl, though he was inactive. I had a chance to catch up with J-Matt at the Super Bowl, and here is that interview.
Jordan, you've been through so much, back and forth, Eagles, all those stints there, San Fran again. How has, through all your ups, all your downs, your faith in the Lord held you through this?
Man, it's been the only thing, honestly, that's kept me steady, man. You know, I don't claim to be perfect. Like, I wish I could say that every single injury, every single time I got cut, every single time I, you know, the time I got traded, that I just handled it like the perfect Christian, man. I realized how flawed I was in a lot of areas. And I just think that, man, it's in those moments that that God does his best work. You know, I remember getting traded and listening to the sermon by Tim Keller. It's called When We Survey. And it was about Ephesians, when Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And these guys are like, these guys are being persecuted, going through way harder stuff than getting traded from a football team. And at no point does Paul pray for the outward condition. He prays for the inner man. And that impacted me, because I'm like, here I am, like, wallowing in, like, sorrow, as if I'm in real deal suffering. Yeah, it may have been kind of unfortunate in football terms, but I was like, dude, like, my inner man is being strengthened every single day. That's what I should be praying for. That's what I should be worried about. And that's what I should be making sure isn't taking a hit, just because my outward circumstances aren't what I like. And it's just been through the hard times that I've learned the most, man. One of my favorite quotes by Francis Chan is, the times when you think the world is ending is when you only see your world. And there were a lot of times when I was going through situations that I was only seeing my world. And when we're nearsighted, we don't see what else is going on, man. Our perspective is in a terrible place. We're not the husbands we need to be at home. We're not the fathers we need to be. And so just the constant adversity, the constant pounding, the constant grinding of the NFL life, I think it's molded me into the man who I know that ultimately I'm going to be and that I need to be whenever this whole thing is over. And that's the part of life when it really matters. I tell people all the time, as long as I'm playing football, I have a one-year-old son, I still feel like the kid in the house, because the whole, everybody's world still revolves around me. Yeah. When's my season? When's my game? And wow, that's hard for a lot of guys to deal with. It's, I have a one-year-old son. You know, I just have a kid. Life is supposed to revolve around that child now, but it's still me in a weird way, whether I like it or not. And so whenever that point comes, when I'm out of the game and life is how it's supposed to be and Josiah is the main one in the picture, I want to be that man of God who can stand in the gap for my family and know that, hey, like, all that stuff I went through, like, it might not have been so, maybe I wasn't a Pro Bowler, I didn't get that contract, like, maybe he was molding me so I can help you with whatever you're going through. Maybe if you play football, maybe you don't. But I know that he's doing something in my heart, and I can't wait to see what it is when that time comes.
I've talked to Nick before about this, and God putting him in certain places so he can influence those around him. And you know the impact that he had in Philly a couple of years ago. Now he's in Jack. Have you ever looked at it like,
every time you go somewhere, there's a locker room that may need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you could be the one who could bring it to them.
Oh, 100%. I think it's so funny how, you know, in the world we live in now, unless you go really read it for yourself, you're not going to get the true gospel a lot. You're not going to get it on social media. It's going to be really hard. And you're not going to get it through mainstream television, you know. So you really got to go search for it yourself. And, you know, we got to realize as Christians that we're going to be the Bible that people read. We got to be able to give. We got to be able to, like, share our faith with people whenever the opportunity comes. So I definitely look at it that way. We actually were able to start a Bible study in here the last couple of weeks when I came back. And I've even realized at that point, I said, let's go through Galatians. Let's talk about getting the gospel right. Let's talk about, like, what it really is, what it really says about the fact that all of us, if we come to Jesus Christ, we can be saved. It's, we don't have to do these things. He came down and did the work. And there's just so many misnomers when it comes to Christianity. And so I tell people all the time, man, don't worry about what man has said. Go back to what he said. Go back to what the Son of Man said. And I feel like that's when you're going to be able to find your peace. At that point, you got to respond, you know. When there's people talking back and forth, you never get to the bottom of it. But when you go and meet the true Jesus, then you got to respond. I think that's when we're in the best spot to really learn and really grow.
Appreciate you. All
right. And that was Jordan Matthews, San Francisco 49ers wide receiver. We talked about being filled by the Spirit and fullness earlier. Here's a quote that Jordan Matthews talked about from Francis Chan that said, when you think the world is ending, you're only looking at your world. And you mentioned this to me last night that after you heard the interview, you wanted to talk about that. That is, man, when you think the world is ending, you're only looking at your world. How often do we get caught up in what's the moment, the circumstance, our lives, and we go, oh, the world's ending around me, but it's not just about, it's not about me.
Yeah, we're just consumed with what's happening, and social media doesn't help, and the news doesn't help. And when we keep looking at those things and we look at what's wrong with the world, we think, yeah, well, the world is definitely going to end because, you know, we're plagued by this and that. And then, you know, there is this other virus that's like, I don't know, it's just destroying everybody everywhere. So it makes you feel like, oh, you know what? I'm going to sit in a bubble. I'm going to just cover myself in like, you know, plastic wrap and my kids and just live here till the day I die. But it's sad. It's sad that this is what we're consumed with every day, all day. And then when we look at the world, we feel like it's dark and gloomy and awful. But when we look at Jesus, we feel that, wait a minute, it's actually getting better. If you think about it, it's actually, the world is getting better in that direction because we're looking at Christ and what he's doing around us and the people that are getting changed by him, the people that are getting saved by his love. And every day things are getting better and better and better. And if we're looking at the world and what they perceive is better or worse, it's like it's all sickness and war. And well, that stuff has been around for too long. I mean, it's sickness
forever.
Has been around.
Yeah, you know? Forever.
It's
yeah.
not going anywhere. But what Since has the fall. Changed? You know,
yeah.
God's love evolves actually every day, yeah. and he shows up in major ways every single day, and he's changing. And I hate to say this, right, but he's changing people in great positions for a reason.
Absolutely.
And he is doing major work on these people because he knows our society is influenced by people like that. By people in power. And when we look at someone in power and someone in position or someone like our guests and he's preaching the gospel, right? And he's saying like, no, despite of everything, I'm not looking at the world. I'm looking at my world through Jesus's eyes.
Yeah.
I'm seeing something completely different. You guys, I'm seeing that the world is great.
Yeah.
So he's preaching something that the world is not preaching. And when his followers see that, they say, oh, there's something there. I want to experience that too. And this is, I feel like God is in sports more than ever right now. I'm sorry.
It seems like it is.
Everything, right?
Yeah. Seems like people are connecting with him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's sweeping the nation. He's sweeping, the whole arena of sports because he knows that people are influenced greatly by sports. And I mean, hello, I'm here. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's really interesting how he speaks our language of whatever we love. His love language is actually very close to the language of things that we love too. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing. I just love it.
No, I mean, look, Jesus constantly, you know, when his message was the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
Now, they were oppressed. They were still under Roman rule. They still were, right, being, you know, had all sorts of ailments and all sorts of situations. And yet Jesus said, yeah, but the kingdom of God is here.
Yeah.
And so what's he saying? He's saying, hey, we are of this world. You know, we live in this world, but we're not of this world, right? We have to have a different perspective on life. Mm-hmm. It's the same message that God speaks to Job, right? Job, you know, you think we have a bad day. You think which is, you know, the oldest book of the Bible. It's the first revelation really mm-hmm. that God gives humanity is the book of Job, of himself. And Job is like, totally at the end of his rope with everything. And he finally comes and starts to complain to God. And he's like, God, what's the deal? Right. And God just says, excuse me. did I consult you when I spoke the world into being, right? Did you help me make the stars? Sit down, get a perspective. And from that, he goes, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he'll put his feet on this earth again. I know that my Redeemer lives. There's this change of perspective. I think, remember, that we have to always have. That, yeah, you know, truly, like, I mean, look, the weight of sin is going to get worse because the number of people on the planet increases. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our ability to wage war is at a level that we've never seen. Our ability to communicate hate is at an ability that we've never, this world has never seen. And so, yes, the weight of sin on this world is greater than it's ever been and will continue to be, right, as we go towards the end time. Mm-hmm. However, my king wins. Mm. However, my Redeemer will set his feet on this earth again. Yeah. And that's the perspective we need to have. If those first century Christians who are being martyred by the Roman Empire, they knew something in their spirit that it took 320 years to bring about in the reality. Yes. They knew that that kingdom, although it was wicked, horrible, and oppressive, was being broken by the kingdom of God, and that God's kingdom would win, and it did 300 years later.
That's very true. And you know what, though? Every time we look, I feel this is just a personal thing. Every time I see there's a lot of things rising up, like diseases and wars and stuff like that, I feel like, you know what? The opposition is so hard because the kingdom of God is greater than ever.
Yes.
And he is just doing some massive work in people and he's redeeming lives like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's because of that that the enemy is working so hard to just do things to attack how it's kind of like a little kid that's kicking, right? It's kicking left and right and they're like and screaming and you're going, are you done? You know what I mean? That's how I always, that's my perspective always of God. It's going, are you done? Because we got work to do here.
Yeah.
And it's just, if we always shift our perspective and our eyes and just keep them on Jesus, keep them on the work he's doing on us and what the Holy Spirit is doing every single day and everybody around us and in us, we're just going to have a completely different perspective. We're going to have something that's just so amazing and we're going to be able to continue to change and continue to bring change to other people through the work that Christ has done for us and for everybody.
Yeah. Well, you know who's about done? We are. We got to take care of some business. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Remy, and Pastor Kyle. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every past show from the last 3 years and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also now on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. If you can, please like, share, download, all of that great stuff. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and follow us on Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode and blog delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media at Rob Motti on all of my platforms except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Mahdi. Remy is at Remy Mahdi, M-A-A-D-D-I. And Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors who make this happen. Great businesses. Check them out on our website. Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Rastelli Foods Group, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. And of course, thank you to all of our listeners and our followers. Thank you to all the guests who come on the show each and every week. Big thank you to Doug Horton for handling all of our business. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, and blog. Jim Henderson, thanks for the work behind the scenes. And thank you to our producer, Ryan. And of course, thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Mahdi, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing. I raise a high.